This morning, we're going to talk about being devoted. We're going to talk about being devoted to a particular area. But let's look first just at this word. What does it mean? It means to give one's time, attention, and self entirely to a particular activity or cause, to be devoted. And in Acts 2:47, which Dave read, it says, and they, those first century Christians, those Christians on the day of Pentecost, 50 days after the Sabbath that Jesus was crucified the day before, those new Christians continued to devote themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship and the breaking of bread and prayer, Acts 2:47. And the context is in what I just told you and what you just read, and that about 3,000 had been baptized on the first day of Pentecost when Peter preached that sermon. You know, they wanted to know, oh, we killed the Messiah, what should we do? And he told them, and about 3,000 obeyed them. And it says, save yourself from this crooked generation. So those who received his word were baptized. And there were added that day about 3,000 souls. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Devoted to those areas. I'm going to focus on that one scripture, but I'm going to even narrow it down more. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings. So I look at myself and I say, okay, you know, how are you doing, Mo? And I say, okay, well, yeah, probably doing okay. I mean, attend the Bible studies we have here Sunday morning and Wednesday. We have a Bible study at Rosie's on Thursday night. I prepare lessons. So, I can say comfortably that yes, I feel I'm probably devoting myself to the apostles' teachings. How about the fellowship? How am I doing there? And I think this refers to, and by the way, these particular activities, the article, the, is in the Greek. It's there. There's a word there. So that's why these four things are kind of being the apostles' teaching, the fellowship, the breaking of bread, and the prayers. Okay. So the fellowship has to do with certainly, laying by in store, taking what God gives me and sharing it with others. So on the first day of the week, as we gather here, certainly I do my part and put something in the collection plate. I also share with what I have with others, those who have needs. And I'm fortunate I can do that. And so, again, in this area, I'm a little comfortable. It's probably, you can always do better, but at least I don't feel I'm shirking this area. How about the breaking of bread? Well, we just did that, and I try to be here every first day of the week to break bread with my brethren and to remember the Lord's death, burial, and resurrection. So that's something that I can feel comfortable about. But then we get to the kicker. How am I doing with the prayers? And you know, every year I usually give a lesson on praying because I need it. This is an area where I can do better. You know, Paul wrote 11 epistles. And in those 11 epistles, there are 41 prayers of Paul. And you read, and he's always praying. He's praying for this, and he's praying for that, and he's praying for that. In fact, he said, pray without ceasing to the church in Thessalonica. I'm not there yet, but that's a goal. So that's why I like to give lessons at least once a year on prayer, to help me and hopefully to help you as well in your prayer life. We're so fortunate that we can communicate with the Creator of the universe, and He listens and He responds. So this lesson is going to be focusing on prayers. So we'll look at some prayers in the Bible, okay? But we can't look at them all because you don't have enough time. The longest prayer recorded is Nehemiah's prayer. And it actually is a bunch of people praying, but it's in Nehemiah chapter 9, and it has 1,213 words. It's a long prayer. Daniel prayed for the people, and his prayer pretty long as well. And as it regards to Jesus in John 17, he prayed the longest prayer that we have recorded in the Bible, and it's often referred to as his farewell prayer. And in this, he's asking for prayers for the church, and he points out his deep relationship that he has with the Father. Okay, so this is his prayer just before he's crucified, and he's with his apostles, and so it's recorded there for us. And so what I want to do is I want to look at prayers in the life of Jesus. Maybe that will help us in our prayer life and see what Jesus. So we'll look at some prayers in the life of Jesus. Now, Jesus was not only the master teacher, but he was also the master of prayer. In fact, his apostles recognized that, and they asked him, teach us how to pray. So that's kind of what we're going to do today. We're going to look at Jesus, teach us how to pray. And we're going to look at some of the examples that Jesus prayed. He prayed in preparation for his ministry. He prayed before making major decisions. He prayed with and for his disciples. He prayed at times of emotional distress. And he prayed when he was facing death. So these are some of the prayers that we will look at to help us. Well, let's look at first his prayer as he prepared for his ministry. Luke records that Jesus prayed immediately after he was baptized. We read it. Now when the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heavens opened, the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son. With you, I am well pleased. So, at the very beginning of his ministry, after his immersion in water for the forgiveness of sins, which he had none, but he was doing what God had told the people to do, so he's obeying the commandments of God. And what happened is what I just read. And the various accounts that we read in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John sort of emphasize different aspects of his ministry. Matthew sort of focuses on doing the will of the Father. And he said, let it be so now, for thus it is fitting to fulfill all righteousness. That's when John the Baptist says, I need to be immersed by you, not you immerse me. And so he said, nope, it's my Father's will. And so that's what he was focusing on there. And Mark reminds us that Jesus came all the way from Nazareth. It says, in those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And that wasn't just next door. He probably traveled about 70 miles. The Jordan River was closer, maybe only 35 miles away, but John was down by the Dead Sea, down by Jericho. So he had to go a great distance. And he didn't have a bicycle, he didn't have a go-kart, he didn't have any kind of speedy transportation. He just hoofed it all the way down there to obey God. And Luke concentrates on the role of the Holy Spirit in the Lord's ministry, because it was while he was praying that the heavens were opened, and there was something to see as the Holy Spirit came upon him, and there was a voice as well, a voice from heaven. This is my beloved Son. You are my beloved Son. I'm well pleased. So God offered both a visible and audible evidence that Jesus is the Son of God. And Jesus reveals this mission of John reveals this mission of Jesus as he is the Lamb of God that takes away sin. Now John the Baptist points to Jesus and says, "Behold the Lamb of God takes away the sins of the world." The mission that Jesus came for. And I'm not going to read all these scriptures because we'll be here too late. But this is the one that tells you that. He prayed before major decisions. He prayed before he had to choose the 12 apostles, the 12 disciples. It says, "In those days he went out to a mountain to pray. And all night he continued in prayer. And when day had come, he calls his disciples and chose from them 12, whom he named apostles." And the word apostle just means one sent. He's going to send them out in the world to preach the good news after his death, burial, and resurrection. So Luke is revealing to us that Christ went to a mountain for the purpose of being alone with the Father. And he also discloses the intensity of his prayer by highlighting that he prayed all night. I haven't done that. I fall asleep. Sorry. When we have major decisions before us, we must fervently and faithfully pray to the Lord. Philippians 4:6. "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." So before we have to make any major decisions in our life, maybe any decision in our life, let's make sure we talk to God about it and be guided by our Father in heaven. So are we regularly praying for elders, preachers, teachers, parents, fellow Christians, and our world leaders to make good decisions? Think about these things. Pray for others to make good decisions, just not only yourself. Jesus prayed with and for his disciples. The Lord went up to a mountain with Peter, James, and John to pray. That's when the transfiguration took place. And we read in Luke's account, "Now about 8 days after these sayings, he took with him Peter and John and James and went up the mountain to pray. And as he was praying, the appearance of his face was altered, and his clothing became dazzling white." This is the transfiguration. "And Jesus reassured and prayed for his disciples shortly before his departure from this world. Now they know that everything that you have given me is from you." So he was in John's 15, 16, 17, we have the prayers of Jesus to his disciples. And he basically says, "I've told them what they need to know. I'm praying for them. I'm not praying for the world, but I'm praying for those who you've given me, for they are yours." And again, I think you can read the rest of this for yourself, but Jesus prayed for his disciples. As God's people, That's us. We need to be praying for each other. Then I will look at Jesus pray as he was in emotional distress. Let's consider his prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. This is where he's going to be arrested. He's going to be betrayed and arrested here. And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and prayed, "Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." And there appeared to him an angel from heaven and strengthened him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat became like great drops of blood falling to the ground. And when he rose from prayer, he came to the disciples and found them sleeping for sorrow. And he said to them, "Why are you sleeping? Rise and pray that you may not enter into temptation." So he's facing crucifixion. He's facing brutal beating. And he's facing leaving his apostles alone. They'll no longer have him with them. And he just prays to the point where perspiration is dripping off of him, pouring off of him. I've seen my father-in-law working in the humid air of Virginia. Because of working, perspiration dripping off of his body, he would have to put a band around his head because it would sting his eyes. He couldn't see. So I've seen it. I have not done that myself. That's our Lord. Jesus not only prayed for himself, but also for his disciples. And Matthew accounts of him being sorrowful and troubled, very sorrowful, even unto death. And that's the scripture that states, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch for me." This is from the garden scene. Prayer will ensure that we can handle our suffering through our faith and trust in God, because Hebrews writer says, in the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverence. Okay, because of his faith and everything, we can be confident that God hears our prayers. Okay, and ultimately, Jesus is on the cross; he's facing death. And he prays there as well. And the prayers of Jesus are very revealing. He was on the cross for 6 hours. Not 6 minutes, 6 hours. Started at 9 a.m. in the morning, because he'd been up all night. And what did he do? He forgave those who put him to death. Wow. I mean, sometimes you'd have a hard time just forgiving somebody that cuts you off on the highway. Not putting you to death. Now, maybe the way they do it, he could have been in a bad accident and died. But you see, it's okay. I forgive you. And Luke 23:34 says, he said, "Father, forgive them. They do not know what they're doing." And they cast lots of buyer's garments. Now, we might say, okay, well, that's, you know, Jesus. Jesus, God's Son. He could do that. I don't know if I can do that. Well, he's not the only one in the scriptures that forgave those who were pounding on him. Stephen was being stoned to death. Yeah. Sometimes I have a visual of that process. You know, I think of somebody picking up little stones and tossing them at me. Everybody get hit by a baseball when somebody's pitching to you. It hurts. No, think of big boulders that you can barely pick up and bam, dumping them on the body of Jesus. That's what's happening. And Stephen, falling to his knees, he cried with a loud voice, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." And then he tells it. So, yeah, we have to forgive people. Okay. To end the lesson, let's look at some applications. Paul told the Thessalonians to pray without ceasing. So our mind, our mindset should be one that we are always, we have God in our mind and we're communicating with Him. I know for myself, hours can go by and I don't talk to God. We should be talking to God as frequently as possible. Develop a habit. It takes about 30 days to develop a habit. So if you want to pray every day at a particular time, you want to set aside a particular time, a particular place to go and pray, it's going to take you about 30 times before you can do that automatically. So we should develop habits for our prayer life. We should find a quiet place to pray. We should make a prayer list. You know, that we have some names in the bulletin, but there are other names that you could also add to your list. And, you know, I've seen helps where you, okay, this day I'm going to pray for our government leaders. This day I'm going to pray for the church. This day I'm going to pray. And so you can maybe categorize things that way as well. We need to pray for ourselves and the needs of others, and need to praise God in our prayers and be thankful, which Jesus showed us. We need to pray for our government leaders that they make the right decisions. We need to pray for our enemies. Well, that's another one. And finally, pray for our brethren, everybody in this room. Pray for each other. And what we're doing here, you know, what our mission is as a church here is to not only help each other go to heaven, but to also share what we have with the community that we live in, the greater Lowell area. Now, I realize this hasn't been a lesson that, you know, tells you how to become a Christian, but I'd love to pray for you. And I'm going to pray that you accept Jesus in your life and therefore desire to obey Him and to be immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins. That's how this verse, the context of this verse was presented this morning. And so if you haven't become a Christian yet, I pray that you will. And if you want to study with me or any members of this congregation, just let us know. We will make that happen. We have Bible studies all week long. But we can even have personal Bible studies with you if you so desire. And if you're already a Christian, but you know you have some needs, you have some difficulties, and you want the congregation to be aware of them and make them known in their prayer life, then this is an opportunity to let us know as a congregation. You don't have to do that. You can just confide in individuals that are here. All of these things we need to take advantage of. And so I encourage you to do that. And think about doing these things as we stand and sing the song of it.